McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by SUSE. Now, I'm pleased to welcome Johan Els, an open source specialist from SUSE, to the show now. I'm going to be chatting to Johan about SUSE Enterprise Linux on SAP. But Johan, maybe as a starting point, and for those who maybe aren't that familiar with SUSE, it's a German company. Maybe take us through what it is the company does and its focus areas in the open source and Linux space.
Okay, yeah, so thank you, Duncan. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting me. Yeah. And SUSE is, I think, 28 years old now, and what SUSE does is they look at projects that's actually up and coming in the industry, and we take those products like Ceph and SUSE Linux and Live Kernel Patching and those type of things that the community is developing and see where the ingenuity from a software development platform comes from. And then we build it into an enterprise-grade platform. Mm. Now, when you look at enterprise-grade platform, that means the community is bleeding edge, and we make sure that bleeding edge is supported for a long period of time, that the clients who actually invest in open source gets the best practice of what we do with code.
Right. Right. Okay. Now, the open source market has and the Linux market and community, for that matter, has changed quite dramatically over the years. I think many non-techie consumers and business people, for that matter, will think of Linux or remember Linux perhaps as a competitor at one stage to Windows on the desktop. But it's much more than that now, and it's really expanded, and it's used. Linux is used primarily in the enterprise space, actually. The desktop market, it never really took off in a big way, but it did in the enterprise market, and it has in terms of cloud computing and data centers and all that sort of thing. So, well, I think many people say, well, Linux, it didn't really take off. In fact, it did take off, right? It's huge in the enterprise space.
Well, it's actually huge everywhere, because if you think about most of the things that we touch on a daily basis is touching some sort of open source platform, yeah. Especially when you start looking at the likes of Netflix and you look at Android and you look at all those type of components, everybody uses it every day from an open source perspective.
Yes.
Yes. And then what's been happening is a lot of companies look at open source to see how they can basically take the ingenuity, what we bring as SUSE, and put it into the likes of hyperscalers. If you look at the Google platforms and you look at the Azure platforms and the AWS platforms.
Yes.
If you look at the majority of machines that's being spun up in the cloud platforms is a Linux-based platform. So everybody's adopting Linux from that perspective.
And what's the reason for that? Is it its stability, its price point? Why has it effectively won in that space?
It is twofold from my perspective, and it is a component of flexibility that you don't have to be locked into a specific stack. Mm-hmm. And the other one is the new things that the market comes to. And a lot of people look at what's new, because I cannot wait, for example, what SUSE is bringing to the new platform, because there's always something new that comes to the fore. And I think from a perspective that people look at the robustness and the stability that Linux brings, mm-hmm. and of course, so the changes and the new things that we bring to the fore is what people adopt. And of course, okay, maybe there's a third one of the service and support that actually being offered, yeah. from a enterprise Linux point of view.
Right. Now, Johan, what we're going to be talking about in a little bit of detail today is SAP specifically running on top of SUSE Enterprise Linux. And SAP is one of the key strategic partners for SUSE. SAP, of course, also a German company and one of the world's largest developers of business software applications. In fact, I think it is the world's largest developer of business software applications.
Very much so.
What is the nature of that relationship between SUSE and SAP? How do the companies work together when dealing with clients and approaching prospective clients?
Okay, so the relationship between SUSE and SAP goes way back when. I think we've got close to about a 20-year relationship with SAP. Mm-hmm. And the mere fact that we actually co-develop a lot of the things for the SLES for SAP application stack, it just talks for itself.
SLES,
now, when you start looking,
SLES is SUSE Linux Enterprise
Server.
Server, yes. Right.
Yes. So SUSE Linux Enterprise Server for SAP is a special component we have for the clients.
Right.
Now, those components actually help clients. Now, normally when you basically start looking at deploying a SAP solution for, let's say, CRM or HANA or something like that, you need to basically have a lot of change that you have to make to the Linux kernel and understand how page cache looks like and how you're actually going to put it in your enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, SUSE, by working with SAP, makes those things very simple to deploy. And that's what you get as a total bundle of SUSE Linux Enterprise Server with a bunch of add-ons to make your enterprise SAP CRM system easy to deploy and manage.
I see. Okay, so how would an enterprise typically go about deploying these solutions?
So there's a couple of options. So one is you go and you purchase SLES for SAP, and then in SLES for SAP, you get a page cache limit that you can actually monitor the amount of disk space it uses, and you mainly use memory for transactions. Then you get an installation wizard. The installation wizard actually asks you the relevant questions that you don't have to go and delve deep into config files to go and change those config files. We make those changes, specifically what SAP gives us, what to do with the kernel.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a couple of other things that we actually automate, and the automation is to understand how you build a HA cluster, how you do certain parameter changes, so if you want to basically deploy a 5-node cluster, mm-hmm. it's basically you create a stack and you say deploy it, and it's automatically up and running.
Okay, all right. So it automates things. It makes it easier to use and a lot less fiddling around on a command line trying to figure out esoteric settings, it sounds like.
Correct. And lots of times people come back to me and ask me, what changes do we have to do there? What changes? But you don't have to do that because everything is simplified and make sure that anybody can basically just click on it and install it.
And is this specifically for on-premise solutions, or does this work in the cloud as well?
It's on-prem and cloud. We actually made it very simple for people to basically take it wherever they want to.
Okay.
And then in that, you've got a thing called bring your own subscription. And in bring your own subscription, you can actually take it from an on-prem environment, your subscription, up to any type of cloud. And that subscription lives with you for the period of time that you actually subscribe to get patches and updates and support from SUSE.
Okay. Now, apart from this ease of installation, what are some of the reasons clients consider using SAP on SLES as opposed to, say, other Linux vendors or someone not in the Linux space at all?
So the main reason is the supportability that you have with the, number one, the cloud vendors, and number two, the IHVs. Now, the IHVs, hardware vendors, will basically, so in the support structure, if I can explain it this way, when you buy a Dell machine, a Fujitsu machine, or any type of hardware, okay, then you purchase SLES for SAP, and then you're going to run a SAP application on top of SLES on that specific platform, if it's cloud or hardware, whatever the case, it doesn't make a difference.
Right.
Then you can log a support call with either three of the vendors. So it doesn't make a difference. If you think it's a SUSE Linux Enterprise Server problem, SAP problem, or a hardware problem, you log it with that specific vendor, and behind the curtains, we'll resolve the problem for you and hand you the resolution.
Right. All pretty seamless behind the scenes.
Very seamless.
I believe that an important component of this whole thing is the ability to also, again, seamlessly and easily patch SAP systems. How big of a process is it? Has it been traditionally to keep SAP software patched?
Sometimes it's very difficult if you don't get the libraries linked in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with SLES for SAP, it makes it much easier because we actually understand that if it's an SAP environment, there is a thing called repositories that when we install a SLES for SAP environment, the repositories are aligned for the SAP applications and the SUSE environment. So if you patch it, we don't break libraries in between.
Right. Okay. So it knows exactly.
It knows exactly. So you're not going to basically get libraries that can't find this. It's a seamless process where you basically do a command called zipper patch, and it patches your system up to where it needs to be.
Right. And these patches are like the patches you'd download on Windows that release updates for security and that sort of thing. These are security patches amongst other things.
Correct. So a lot of CVEs and security patches, for example, the bootfall vulnerability that's been exploited now with the grub problem that we had in the community now. So that is a seamless process that you just need to make sure that the CVEs are appropriately aligned to what you want to basically patch. And that patch process,
So I was just going to ask, so this is fully automated or is some human intervention required?
It depends on the client.
Okay.
So a lot of clients ask us, listen, can we automate it? Sure, we can automate it. If you don't want to automate it, you don't have to automate it. A lot of people want to have human interaction with the system to see if something would go wrong. Okay, then they can basically intervene and fix it. Because a lot of people will basically bring a odd library in from the community and install it on the system. We don't suggest that you do that, but lots of times you do see that you can't do the automation because it will fail. Now, what we do is we make sure that the stack is appropriately aligned, that you only bring in certain repositories to make sure when you do the patch, everything is a seamless process.
Now you mentioned briefly SAP HANA, and HANA is a quite an exciting technology from SAP. It's been in development for many years now, in fact. But it's really about running database instead of running your database off a disk. It's running it in memory on your chosen hardware, which is significantly harder and allows businesses, I understand it, to make decisions often based on real time business information. Am I summarizing that well, Johan? What SAP HANA is and does?
Yeah, so SAP HANA is very cool. The machines that you need to deploy HANA on, and you need quite a lot of memory on the machines or on the systems. So if you go into the hyperscalers, some of the machines, the big machines that you need to deploy it on. So yeah, you're going to need to have a couple of terabytes of memory on it. So the whole database runs in, okay, memory. However, on that, there's a lockstep mechanism that it keeps a transaction onto disk, but the whole transaction process runs in memory. So if by, let's say, there's load shedding or something like that and the system goes down, at least there's some sort of a record where it actually left off. And that basically the whole database can be shoved back into memory and you can continue as before.
Okay. So, and the benefits of this are mainly real-time business decision-making?
Transaction-based. So as soon as you hit the database, you get return responses very, very much quickly back.
Okay. Now, I believe that SUSE is very good at automating this SAP HANA and providing other advantages on your platform. Maybe just take us through exactly what SUSE brings to the table when it comes to SAP HANA.
So we've, as I specifically stipulated, so because of the in-memory database, we've got the auto install wizard. Mm-hmm. Where you can actually go and say, what is it what I'm going to install? And those parameters that we install will automatically be defined on when the machine goes live. So if you want to basically have, let's say, a four or five node cluster on a HANA database, depending if you want to have it performance optimized or cost optimized, depending on what you want to basically do on the data on the HANA database, because you can have a primary or a primary secondary type of environments. And then we can build a scenario for you where the data is going to live and how it's going to fail over.
Understood. Now, before I let you go, Johan, high availability is obviously very important in these sort of deployments. What type of high availability scenarios are supported in the SUSE Linux Enterprise Server for SAP applications?
High availability, it's an open-ended question. The reason why I'm saying it's an open-ended question is because it really depends on availability. If you want to basically have availability and the cost associated to availability, that's the question. Mm-hmm. Now, lots of people ask, okay, do we need a 5-node cluster? Do we need an 8-node cluster? Do we need a 2-node cluster? It all depends. It depends on how big is the wallet and what do you want to do with it. Now, in our scenarios with SAP, we've got the cost optimized and the performance optimized, mm-hmm. where you can actually have a 3-node cluster doing transactions at the same time, or you can basically have a database failover if something happens. Then you say, you know what, I'm happy with the performance that I'm getting now, mm-hmm. but if something would happen, I'll bring the other node in. But that other node also does other transactions.
Yes.
Okay, so for maybe it's your dev environment or something like that. So if I can explain to you like this, if you've got a 2-node cluster, one of the nodes will be the primary and the other node will be secondary. The primary node will basically do all the work, okay? The secondary will do some dev stuff where the developers will basically do some stuff, but it's not real running in that environment. If the primary node will fail over, of course, you've got your lockstep mechanism running onto the other node already, then you can basically just switch off the development environment and bring it up as a primary. So that's what you can have as a cost-optimized solution. If you look at a performance-optimized solution, then most of the nodes that's in the cluster will basically do the transactions for you, depending if you've got a load balancer in front or not.
Understood. Okay. So if people want to learn more about SLES 4 for SAP, SUSE.com, the place to go, we'll include a link on the Tech Central website. You don't know the URL offhand, I suppose, do you, Johan?
So if you go to www.suse.com and then you go to products, and then in the products section, you will see that there's a link for SLES for SAP, mm-hmm. and all the material is there. If they need to reach out to anybody at SUSE in South Africa, please let us know. And if you want to link my email address into the podcast, that's also fine.
What is your email address?
It is johan.else@suse.com.
Johan with two N's, .else@suse.com. There you go. Reach out to Johan if you're interested in learning more about this technology or possibly deploying it in your organization. Now, Johan Else is an open source software specialist at SUSE South Africa. Thanks, Johan, for talking to Tech Central today.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Duncan. Appreciate the time.